All right, I want to encourage you guys to go ahead and find a seat. You can sit a little closer to somebody you just met, maybe. Move in a little bit so you don't have to be so far apart. All right. Again, we're excited for today. Today is Father's Day. We are starting a brand new series called Modern Family. And today we're going to be talking about how every family needs a hero. And yes, it is Father's Day, but of course, moms can be heroes. And many of you as moms are heroes already. And but today we want to say a special just thank you to our fathers, those who have poured themselves into our lives to make us who we are today. And we're going to be getting into what is a hero. So, all right, to make this a little fun and interactive, how many of you have a favorite hero? Raise your hand. A favorite hero. Keep your hands up. All right, so at the count of three, I want everybody to say the name of their favorite hero. Ready? You got to say it loud so we can all hear you. One, two, three. Yeah, he's mine too. That was good. That's right. We all have all kinds of heroes. Some of them wear capes. Some of them swim underwater. Some of them go to work at the Pentagon every day. We all have different heroes in our lives. And so to get us thinking about heroes, we got a little game for you, okay? And so this is a game where you need to keep track of your points, and we're going to see who's going to win, okay? All right, so here's the way the game's going to work. We're going to show you some of my heroes in my life, and you've got to guess their counterpart. It might be somebody who mentored them. It might be a sidekick. It might be a partner who helped them through a difficult time. But I'm going to show you one of them, and then quietly, you got to write down who you think the partner is, okay? So are you ready for the first one? Some people don't have a pen. That's what your moms and dads are for. Bump your moms and dads and say, hey, I need a pen. Okay? All right. While we're looking for pens and pencils, heroes, we all need them. How many of you grew up watching Greatest American Hero? When you were, I'm dating all of us. Yeah, that's right. It was a great show growing up. How many of you grew up watching Wonder Woman? How about The Bionic Man, Million Dollar Man. What was the name of that show? Okay, how about Buck Rogers? Yes. Battlestar Galactica, the old one. Yeah, okay. They're all kind of, most of my heroes are the sci-fi nature, of course, but you'll get a good picture of some of them through the years. Our first one is, okay, so here's, you can see how there's somebody missing. I know this is a hard one. But I want you to write down who you think it is, okay? Who the missing person is. All right? Now, at the count of three, I want you to write it down. No changing answers. Write it down. At the count of three, I want you to yell out who is the missing character. Ready? One, two, three. See if you're right. Oh, you're right! Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so you know what was really cool about Batman? Is he had like no like superpowers. He was just like really smart and had cool gadgets. I remember as a third grade kid, I had a Batman mask and I had no other part of the costume. So I just found anything in the house that looked like a gadget and hung it on my belt. And I was Batman. So, yeah. And I think I had a beach towel to tie around my neck as a cape. So, Batman. All right, next. All right, another hero, more modern day hero. There's somebody missing though. Write down who you think it is. Who's missing? Who's missing? Write it down. No cheating. No cheating. All right, write it down. All right, at the count of three, I want you to yell out the missing character. One, two, three. All right, you're right. Good job, Buzz Lightyear. What? Darth Vader? Something's wrong with this kid over here. All right. Okay, the next one. All right, I started watching this show when I was like 6 years old. Me and my dad would sit down and watch this show every week together. Captain Kirk and... Write it down. Write down who you think it is. Write it down. How many of you were right in the first two? Let's see. Raise your hand. Wow. How many of you got it wrong? One of the first two. Really? Wow. Okay. You don't watch enough TV. All right, here we go. One, two, three. Of course. The Vulcan pinch guy, right? Live long and prosper. Can you guys do that? How about this one? Can you go back and forth? Yeah. All right, let me see. Can you do it? Who also did this? Mork. Nanu Nanu. Mork and Mindy. Yes, another great hero. All right, next. All right. This is actually Nathan's hero. You know the tall guy who sings over here? This is what Nathan wants to be when he grows up. We have pictures to prove it. We'll show him. We'll show him later. Okay? So who is that? Who is that? Captain Jack Sparrow, right? Okay, now write down who's the missing person. Now, I haven't seen the newest movie yet, but I heard he's missing in that movie. What's up with that? You know why? Here's my guess. He's filming the next Hobbit movie. Even though Legolas is nowhere in the Hobbit story, for those of you that are Hobbit geeks like me, I heard he's in the movie. That's kind of weird. Anyways, at one, two, three. Orlando Bloom, yes, otherwise known as Will Turner. All right, how many of you still perfect score? Perfect score. Okay, good. Next one. All right, of course, you can't grow up and not have Charlie Brown as a hero. Charlie Brown was a hero of mine because he always found a way of slipping every time he tried to kick that football. But there was always somebody behind him who kept him going good. Write it down. At the count of three, yell at his name. One, two, three. Very good. Good job. All right, let's keep it going. Who's next? All right, this one is actually, I think, from Austin's group, because I didn't even know who these guys were. I know that's Will Smith. But I've never seen this movie. So anyway, okay, so who is the missing partner there? Who is the missing partner? Write it down. All right, at the count of three, I want to hear the missing person's name. One, two, three. I heard a lot of different things. What's his name? Kay? And the other guy's name is? That's real. All right, let's move along. All right. My brother and I love these guys. These were some of our favorite heroes growing up. That is Ernie. And who is the missing guy? Write it down. Write it down. Who's the missing guy? Let me hear it. One, two, three. It's not Elmo, and there is a rubber ducky, but that's Bert. How many of you really missed that? Yeah, is Bert and Ernie still around? Okay. Okay, very good. All right, and do we have a couple more, right? All right, two more. All right, so yes. This guy with the weird-looking afro going on, that is Frodo. And Frodo had a very important partner in his life. And write his name down. It's a count of three. I want you to say it. Are you ready? One, two, three. That's right. Sam Gamgee, or Sam the Wise, sometimes called. Yeah, Sam Gamgee. Okay, and then now, the ultimate superheroes, okay? The greatest superheroes of ever. We've got my dog up there, Chewie. Chewbacca. And write down who you think is next to him. Write down who you think there is next to him. You know, you want to know a sad story? Do you guys know what planet Chewbacca is from?
Kashyyyk.
Who said that?
Me.
Yeah, Kashyyyk. Who else knew Kashyyyk? All right. Do you guys know what happened to Kashyyyk? It did. Who knew that? JP, you know Star Wars? Dude, I'm impressed. Yes, it got blown up and Chewbacca was there. So Chewbacca's dead. That's really sad. That made me cry when I learned that. Okay, so we got Chewbacca and his partner at the count of three. One, two, three.
Han Solo!
That's right, Han Solo. And if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a better looking Han Solo and a better looking Princess Leia. You just got to go to Facebook to see it now. All right, so there are heroes, and for every hero, every great hero has a partner. Every great hero has somebody in their life to make them better. And in life, we call those people mentors. And today we're going to be talking about how fathers and how each and every one of us in this room have a call in our lives to make one another better. We are here to sharpen one another. We're here to call each other to a higher standard. We're here to equip each other. The key principles of a mentor in somebody's life are these. We have to believe in the other person. We have to believe that God has called them to something special. We have to believe in what they're equipped with. We have to believe in all that they can be. And we stand by and we do the second thing. We encourage them. We first believe in them and then we spend time encouraging them through life, even when hard times come. How many of those heroes face something hard or difficult? All of them. All of them. And many times, if it wasn't for that special partner in their life, they would have been in some deep water. And some of them were. I remember watching Superman, the old one, when Superman is on this yacht with, what was the arch enemy? Give it to me. Lex Luthor. And they're on this yacht, and this yacht has this pool in it, and all of a sudden, somehow Lex Luthor discovers that Superman's weakness is what?
Kryptonite.
And he has this chunk of it. He's got this chunk of kryptonite, and he's put it on this chain, and he gets it tied around Superman's neck. And then he does what? He pushes Superman into the pool, and he like starts sinking down to the bottom because it just totally depletes him of his strength. And do you remember who saves Superman while he's drowning in the pool? Does anybody remember? Raise your hand if you remember. What's her name? Is that her name? Yes, Mrs. Testbacher. That girl who like is with Lex but has a crush on Superman, right? She like dives in and finally saves him. She's not a very good villain. Okay, so each of us needs somebody else in our life to help us become all that we're created to be. You see, each of us are born in a certain ordinary state. Each and every one of us. Yes, I know you look at your child and you say, my child's not ordinary, they're special. And in their own way, they are. But the truth of the matter is that in and of ourselves, we're just ordinary. We're just regular human beings. But there comes a place and a time in our life when we feel a call to action, when we feel like there's something more that we're supposed to accomplish, when there's something more that we're supposed to be. But in and of ourselves, we'll never achieve it if we try to get there by ourselves. And what has to happen is at times we feel this call to action, we feel this urgency, something moves in us, and we start this journey, and all of a sudden in our life we're going this ordinary path, and then all of a sudden this call to action comes and we start to strive towards maturity. But there comes a point to where in and of ourselves we hit a plateau, we hit a wall that we can't get through or in or around on our own, and we need somebody else in our life to help us get to that next level. And for today's purposes, I want to call that person a mentor, a hero, somebody that will come into our life and help us to get to that next level. How many of you would say you've had some kind of mentor or hero at some point in your life that has helped you to get through a tough time, a trial, a struggle, over the next hurdle? Exactly. All of us. I can look back through my life and I see tons of people. Of course, there was my dad. I was very blessed to grow up and spend my whole life with my dad. And a few months ago, he was able to be here as we officially launched this Hope Hill Church. I know some of you have had great fathers in your lives. Some of your fathers have passed away or But then some of you have grown up in homes where you didn't have a dad or any father figure. And so today, the challenge is for us to realize that God has put people in our lives, whether it's your biological father or not, somebody to pour into you, to mentor you, and help you to become the hero that God wants you to be. So as we look at some heroes, I want to show you some clips of some of my favorite hero moments from some movies. Here's the first one. Let's see if you can figure out which one this is.
What was that you doing on those stumps over there?
Called crane technique.
Does it work?
If do right, no can defense.
Could you teach me?
First learn stand, then learn fly.
Yeah.
Nature ruled on your son, not mine.
Well, where'd you learn it from?
Father teach.
You must have had some father, man.
Oh, yes.
How many of you know the crane technique? Who here can do it? Somebody get in the aisle and show me. Come on, kids, who can do it? I'll do it with you. Can you show me? Come on, get out in the aisle so you don't kick your mom or dad. Can you do it? All right. Yep, up on one foot. Yep, hands up. Ready? One, two, three, go. Yeah, yeah. All right, let's hear it. Okay, good job. The Karate Kid. Now, Karate Kid, when I was young, was one of my first, like, wow, that's like a superhero who I could one day be. If I don't pull a hamstring, okay? Like I think I just did. But it is hurting. All right. So Karate Kid. Karate Kid was a great example. You know, what was his name? Daniel. Daniel's son didn't have a father figure in his life. And you know, if you watch, how many of you have seen the new Karate Kid? The old one is way better. Way better. Yes, totally. Yeah, it's just because Jaden Smith, whatever his name, and Justin Bieber sings in it, doesn't make it better, okay? So the old Karate Kid was definitely better, and the reason why is because you had Mr. Miyagi. I mean, what's his name? Chan? Jackie Chan just has nothing on Mr. Miyagi. Mr. Miyagi was amazing. He had that special power. He had that black belt from JCPenney. You know, he was the guy, okay? And he poured life into Daniel, who was getting beat up by the bullies. And in the end, well, I'm not going to ruin the story for you. You're going to have to watch it. Okay, so Daniel gets poured into, even though he didn't have a father, he had a father figure, somebody who mentored him and helped him to get from a level that he wanted to achieve on his own, but he couldn't. He needed somebody else in his life, bringing him to that next level. Well, in that same way, Jesus wants to be that in each of our lives. And I don't mean that in some just Bible story way. Jesus is real, and he has a calling on each and every one of our lives. And Jesus came down from heaven, and he came down to earth, and he found a bunch of misfits. People just like that guy, Daniel, a tall, lanky guy who couldn't fight. Jesus found disciples like that. If you look through the scriptures, God chooses the rejects, those who other people overlooked, and he helps them become things that they can't be on their own. When Jesus came down, he found most of the students, the disciples that Jesus found, would have been overlooked and rejected. Back in Jewish culture, if you were a young boy, like Tyler here, and you were going to the synagogue on a regular basis, the priests and the rabbis would kind of watch, and they'd see how the young men, the young children, if they had aptitude and a good ability to learn, they would choose certain ones who would become their disciples. They would pour their lives into these young ones so that they could one day be prepped to become the next rabbis and teachers and pass on the teachings of God. And so if you didn't get chosen to be a disciple, you became a shepherd, a fisherman, or a tax collector, right? You were rejected. And so Jesus didn't go after those who, you know, were the spiritual elite who like scored the best on memorizing the Torah and all the Ten Commandments. He went after just some fishermen who weren't even that good the day he found them. They had caught nothing. They'd been out fishing all night and hadn't caught a single fish. And Jesus said, if you follow me, you'll be fishers of men. After he worked a miracle in their life and blessed them full of so much fish that their boats began to sink. And Jesus wants to speak that kind of truth into our lives. He wants us to realize the potential that we have if we follow him, if we're willing to surrender everything else and follow him, he'll help us to become all that we could ever be. In the book of James chapter 4, the Bible says, if you resist Satan, humble yourselves and follow God. I just totally slaughtered that verse. I am drawing a blank. James 4:7. Resist the devil, submit to God, and the devil will flee. Okay, so what is the most important part of that verse? Is it the resisting the devil? How many of you would say fighting the devil is the most important part of that verse? Okay, a lot of you, yeah, I like to fight too. How many of you think the other part of the verse where it says talks about being humble before God is the most important part? That's right, that's the truth. Is it the first step to being a hero? And the letter H in the word hero stands for humility. We've got to humble ourselves. It's when we decide that we can't do it on our own, that we need a mentor, that we need somebody else in our life to make us better, is when we can take the first step to becoming the hero God wants us to be. So as we humble ourselves, then we can resist the devil. Because in and of ourselves, the devil is stronger. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, the Bible says. And so the first letter in the word hero is humility. And I want you to remember that as we go through, we'll spell it out. I want to show you another example of a movie clip, kind of giving you a good taste of a hero moment.
Pete, look, you're changing. I know I went through exactly the same thing at your age.
No, not exactly.
Peter, these are the years when a man changes into the man he's going to become the rest of his life. Just be careful who you change into. This guy, Flash Thompson, he probably deserved what happened. But just because you can beat him up, doesn't give you the right to. Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
Who was that? That's right, I heard it in the back. That was Spider-Man. What's his real name? Peter Parker. Exactly. And even here, we have another example of somebody who didn't have a father, but he had a father figure in his life who told him, what was that last line? With great power comes great what? Responsibility. Exactly. And God has given us each potential, and we have to look to him in order to achieve it. And so my encouragement to you is, first of all, are you mentoring somebody else in your life? For those of you that are dads, for those of you that are older, maybe you don't have any biological children of your own. Do you see yourself as a mentor? Do you see yourself as pouring into the life of somebody else? Our children's ministry here at Hope Hill Church is focused on this. We want our children to see heroes in their life, godly men and women and teenagers as examples of their lives so they can look up and see as examples to help them, you know, set examples for what they want to be. And we're looking for those of you here as a part of Hope Hill Church who want to see that role taking place in your own life, where you would pour your life into the lives of younger ones. Are you willing to do that? That challenge will come more at the end. The second thing I want you to know is that a hero is also, we're here to believe in those we're pouring our lives into as a mentor. We're here to encourage. We're here to challenge. But we're also here to correct. How many of you had a good coach or somebody in your life who always encouraged you but kind of fell short in the area of correcting you? Yeah? Some of you? Okay. In the same way, you know, I was in track. I ran track. I was one of the fastest. I'll race you afterwards to prove it, if my hamstring will hold together. I was a fast runner, and Jordan got my running legs. That's why she's so fast on the soccer fields. So, but I was a runner. And so one day I thought, I'm such a fast runner, I'll fill in the spot for the guy who was missing on our team, who was their day to do the hurdles. And I thought, just because I could run and just because I could jump, I could win this hurdle race. How many of you ever ran hurdles? A couple of you? Okay. So here we are. The starting blocks. I'm down. On your mark, set, go. I take off. I'm running. And before the first hurdle even comes, I'm out in front. My speed was going to carry me. I was going to win this race. Here's another medal. I jump. I clear the first hurdle. Stumble a little bit, but nobody saw. So I'm still winning because my speed is so far. I get all the way down to the last hurdle. And guess what happens? I go to jump. There's the hurdle, okay? And instead of foot going over the hurdle, it went under the hurdle. And then my face went right into the ground. I was in first place. But as soon as I hit that hurdle, guess what happened? I was in last place. That's right. Nobody, yeah, I had my coaches there encourage me, run, run, run. But nobody took the time to correct my technique. Nobody told me how to time it right. You had to jump just right. Nobody showed me how to take the right steps and make sure it wasn't just about speed. There's technique involved when doing the hurdles. Nobody taught me that. I just, hey, you're fast. Get out there. Fill the hole. We got a missing spot. I thought I was going to win, but I didn't. So anyway, we need mentors in our lives that are not only going to encourage us, but are also going to correct us. How many of you like American Idol? Yeah, come on. Some of you just don't want to admit it. Meryl, I know you like American Idol, right? Don't you? Yes. Okay, so American Idol. American Idol is huge in our family, at least, well, the last year. Jordan, Bailey, did any of them watch it with us?
Yeah.
Lexi did. The other girls are getting too cool for it. So anyways, we would watch American Idol, and our favorite week were the audition weeks, right? Because you got to see those people who had been mentored, right? You got those people who showed up for auditions being told, you can be anything you want to be if you just try. How many of you have ever heard that in America? You know, it's like the greatest American lie. You can be anything you want to be if you just try hard enough. That's a lie. These people show up on this show and their moms have been telling them, you can do it, baby, you can sing, I know it, I know it. And they get up there and, yeah, somebody lied to them, okay? We need mentors and heroes who are going to be honest in our lives, not just put us up there so that we make the highlight reel of American Idol fails, okay? We need someone who's going to be honest with us. And sometimes being a mentor, it's hard to be honest. But, you know, God has given us each talents and gifts and abilities, and some of them aren't supposed to be on a microphone. All right, I'll just leave it at that. So we need some mentors. We need some people who are ready to step up and to pour into the lives of others so that they can become all that God wants them to be. Jesus was our example. He found those who were rejected and he poured his life into them. Jesus himself, the Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. The word for wisdom there is chokmah. Can you say that with me? Chokmah. Yeah, you kind of feel like you're going to spit something, right? Say it with me one more time. Chokmah. Okay, now say it like you're going to like cut a board in half. Ready? One, two, three. Chokmah. Yes, exactly. Wow, I did just spit. Sorry. So, chokmah is the word for wisdom. And what do you think chokmah means? Does anybody have any idea what chokmah means? We translate it shortly into wisdom, but does anybody here know? Anybody have a good guess? I hear a lot of guesses. To be wise, that's close. What is the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Experience, that's a good one. Discernment, that's very good. Yeah, okay, here's what it means is, chokmah means skilled at life. Okay, skilled at life. And what we need, what I need, what you need, what each of us need is we need others in our lives who are skilled, who have that experience, who have that discernment, who know how to use what they know. The difference between wisdom and knowledge is knowing what to do with what you know. Does that make sense? Okay. So Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. Jesus was a little boy, and just like you guys, and he grew. And as he grew, the Bible says that he learned things. He grew in wisdom. He grew at learning the skills needed to get through life. And we need you as dads and as moms to pour into the lives of us. And we need some of you who are a little older than moms and dads to pour into the lives of us who are a little older so that we continue to sharpen each other and give each other the skills that are needed to get through life. So the challenge today is, are you a hero? Do you have what it takes to be a hero? Here's a couple real quick examples of what's needed for you to be a hero. Before I give them to you, I want you to see one more clip of a famous hero in my life.
No. We'll never get it out now.
So certain are you. Always with you, what cannot be done. Do you nothing that I say?
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No! Try not. Do. Or do not. There is no try.
That's a loop. What happens right after that? What's in the swamp? What sank? His X-Wing. You guys are amazing. Who are you? Who's your dad? That's awesome. All right. So, yeah, Luke Skywalker is on Dagobah, and his X-Wing fighter is sunk in the swamps, and you guys are like, yeah, we know that already, John. You don't have to tell us, right? You've already, yeah, exactly. Okay, so Yoda was there. He had to train Luke in the ways of the Force. He had another great mentor. What was his name? Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's right, old Ben. Ben Kenobi. And even Luke, in order to become the Jedi Master that he eventually becomes, had to have other people in his life pouring into him. So how can you be a mentor today? There are two mentors. There are two heroes in the story. First of all, the first hero is the one who sees themselves as the mentor. It takes a hero to be able to say, you know what, I want to help you. I don't want to just live for myself, but I want to help you become all you need to be. And we need some of those in this room today. The second person who is a hero is someone who is willing to submit themselves to the process of being mentored. And we've got a lot of people out there who think they've got all that it takes on their own, but a lot of times they just fall short. And unless we're willing to, first of all, humble ourselves and accept correction in our life, accept encouragement, accept the things that we need to hear to become what we need to be, we'll never be the heroes that God has called us to be. So here's the two things I want you to know that are required in order for you to be a hero. First of all, we've got to trust in Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate hero in our life. He came, and first of all, he was humble, that H. The Bible says that while he was in heaven, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead he lowered himself, taking on even the position of a servant and coming down to die for us. And Jesus gave his life in humility for you and for me. That's what a hero is about. The favorite hero stories that I like growing up are when that amazing heroic figure risks his life for the others. They humble themselves because it's not about them. Ephesians 4:25 is a great verse for dads that captures this. And Ephesians 4:25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands in this room, do you love your wife with humility? Do you love your life in such a way, just like Jesus did? Jesus gave up everything so that the church could become all it was created to be. We are the church, you and I. Husbands, do you love your wives with humility? Do you love your wives in such a way that you're living life to make her better, to make your children better? Are you willing to be that kind of hero? The second letter in the word hero is E, and this stands for enduring and embracing. A lot of times hard times will come, struggles will come, but a hero endures and perseveres and keeps going on and embraces the correction and the training and the teaching that comes from a mentor in their lives. If you want to be a hero, you've got to follow in the steps of Jesus like he did. He was humble. He endured even the tough things. He accepted the things in his life. He was at the synagogue often learning the old ways. The R in hero stands for making right choices. There are going to be times in our life where making the wrong choice may seem easier than making the right choice. Well, this one's easier right now. I can make a correction later. But the Bible tells us that a hero makes right choices even when it hurts. Even when it hurts. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, you know, a good measure of character is doing the right thing when no one else is watching. Are we about doing the right thing? And then O, we are others focused. Jesus considered all that we were going through, and he didn't consider staying up in heaven apart from us. Instead, he came down because of others, because of you and I. The Bible says that if we want to be that kind of hero, and in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says we must deny ourselves, we must pick up our own cross and follow Jesus. So in order to be a hero today, you've got to be willing to trust in Jesus and to follow Jesus. Jesus said if you want to be like him, you must walk as he walked. And the second thing we have to do is we have to allow others to speak into our lives. And so as we close today, my question to you, dads, is are you a hero? Are you a hero for those children who look up to you? Are you a hero for the neighbors and the coworkers around you? Do they look at you as someone who's humble, who's here to better our community and our society by the way you live? Are you an example of who Jesus is and who Jesus wants you to be? If you are, then keep it up. Keep going. Keep being strong. Paul said, continue fighting the good fight. The Bible says that consider it, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, that we will throw off everything around us that hinders us, and we'll keep pressing forward towards the goal that God has set for us. Are you willing to be that kind of hero? And the second challenge today is, are you in a relationship where you can become all that God has called you to be? Are you in a relationship where someone else is mentoring you, speaking truth into your life, helping you get rid of some of the things, the struggles that are keeping you from becoming all that God wants you to be? And so today, as we bring this to a close, I want you to hear from a few men who have been a part of Hope Hill community and helping get it started. Will you guys come on up? And they're going to share with you how they have been mentored, how they have become who they are today because of the heroes in their life. Come on up, guys. You guys come on over and stand together.
All right, hello. My name is TJ, and Tim Jennings and Gary Hunt are my mentors, and I am who I am today because of their impact on my life. As a middle schooler and high schooler, I was trying to fit in. I stuttered a lot. I was searching for my true identity and for my place. And I was introduced to Tim Jennings and Gary Hunt, who were my youth pastors at that time during my teenage years. And during those years, they invested into me. They have the heart of a mentor. They invited me to spend time with them and poured into my life during these tough years. They showed me what true disciples of Jesus Christ looked like. They showed me what unconditional and godly acceptance was. They laid a deep foundation of leadership development within me and were very influential on the call to pastoral ministry in my life. For the past 15 years, they've been mentoring me and praying for myself, Cresta, and our family during every step of our ministry. They've held me accountable and given much wise counsel. They have led me by example in their ministries to always keep my family first, to never quit in ministry, even when it is tough, and to always trust God for the victory. Tim and Gary are my mentors, and I am who I am today because of their impact in my life.
Hi, my name is Eric. And I am who I am today because of my father, Robert Beam. He has he's been there for, you know, my whole life, all 18 years of him. And he has always just taught me to be responsible, be respectful. And he just ingrained in my mind just the discipline that, you know, I've needed to get me where I am today. Throughout the past 18 years, he's always been there for me, and he has just supported every decision I've ever made, even if it was kind of not a smart one. He's always been there and encouraged me to do the right thing and continue on in my life. My father has always just been there and been my support beam to get me through the tough times when we just didn't know what was next and, you know, what my future was going through. You know, going through college this past year, I'd call him up and he'd always just have an ear to listen. And just it would help me to clear my head, and I would understand, and I would feel better after talking to him. And my name's Eric, and I am who I am today because of Robert Beam.
Well, as you heard earlier, my name's Rick, and I am who I am today because of a man named Dwayne Russell, but we all knew him as Kaz. Before I get to that, though, it's as I mentioned earlier, we've done nine moves, permanent change of stations, and it's amazing that everywhere I've been or we've been, God's put mentors in our lives, and I look back at my parents, my teachers, my coaches, places we've been, the chaplain at Cape Cod when I was there as an executive officer who just seemed to show up at my door when things were really, really bad and say, hey, I just wanted to stop by and talk, and oh by the way, would it be okay if I prayed with you? To elders that I served with at a former church, to families who came and prayed with us and laid hands on us 6 years ago, the day I was diagnosed with colon cancer. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, but the one I wanted to focus on was a guy named Kaz, and it was back in 1975. I was a freshman in high school, and Kaz was the coordinator of our regional Campus Life Youth for Christ program. He was at our school, it seemed like every day. He attended our sporting events, and he reached out to young kids, and he really showed us what life was like to be a Christian, what it was like to be a great father to his two young kids, and what it was to be a great husband to his wife. He had a huge impact on my life, and he led me to Christ when I was in ninth grade. So again, I've had great influences on my life. My wife has been just a tremendous mentor to me, and so have our kids. But I would say that I am who I am today because of a guy named Kaz, 30-some years ago.
Hi, I'm Rob Major, and I am who I am today because of a man named John Swenson. And his impact on my life has made me what I am today. Back in the early 90s, or the late 90s, I was on a really fast track with a large international company. I was given an opportunity to start a new business model and really create a business with a team of people. And in 3 years, we were able to build that business and put it in about 20 different states and generate about $25 million a year. In order to do this, I had to make great sacrifice to my family, and it was really, really tough because I was living out of a suitcase. I was constantly traveling. I rarely saw my daughter Ashley, never saw my wife Lisa, and when I did come home, it was a mess. You know, it took me a day or two just to kind of recruit from the last trip, and then I was right back out the door. I guess the thing that really impacted me the most is from when I came home from one of the trips. My own daughter, 3 years old, didn't even recognize me. She had no idea who I was. Obviously, you can understand the kind of stress that puts on a family. And I knew that change really needed to be made, and I kind of looked for things in different areas to really try to make that change, and it was really tough. I applied for a job in Philadelphia. It was our corporate headquarters, and was given the job, so we relocated to that area. And we found ourselves moving into a suburb of Philly, a sleepy little town. And it was amazing. The house we moved into, it was on Nice Road. It was actually called One Nice Road. It was the first house on the street. And right across the street from the house there stood this old church, probably 200 years old, built out of stone, cored from the area right there locally. Just a beautiful, picturesque thing that you would see in the country in Pennsylvania. And we went to that first service on that Sunday. We weren't even unpacked yet and went across the street, and there we were introduced to Pastor John Swenson. He was the pastor of this little church. And it was really amazing. Immediately, John took our family under his wing. Within like that week, he had already made a call to our house, come over, knocked on the door, and without judgment, he really helped me to see how to become a better father and a better husband, and was really made a huge impact in my life. He reintroduced me to the Word, got me reading the Bible again, He really helped me. Really helped me to learn how I could share my faith with other people as well. He helped me understand what my spiritual gifts were in life, and more than anything else, he held me accountable. And that's so important from a mentor standpoint. And I know John mentioned that earlier. Someone that's going to stand and encourage you, but at the same time, when you're doing things wrong, he's going to kick you in the butt. And that's the type of person that he was. John baptized me as an adult. I was baptized as a child, but I made that decision to be baptized again, and got dunked in a swimming pool right there in the local backyard. And at the same time, John helped me through some difficult periods too, including my own father's death. My dad passed away, and John, obviously a pastor in Pennsylvania, drove all the way down to Virginia, and he performed the service for our family. So, just incredible. And it's just kind of funny how when you're in your deepest need that God provides, he puts people in the place. And Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open." And John Swenson passed away in 2010, but there's not a day that I don't think about him. John was my mentor, and I am today because of him.
I'm Roger Henderson, and I am who I am today because of Ken Perko and Gary Borcherding. When I was a young man in junior high and high school, and younger than that even, Ken Perko, I was a Boy Scout and a Cub Scout, and Ken Perko was one of my Scoutmasters. Had a love for just investing in young men's lives, whether teaching them woodworking skills or fire starting or how not to cut themselves while working on a piece of wood or hiking or camping or even mountain climbing. He had a love for teaching boys how to set goals and then how to attain them. But other than that, he taught them what servant leadership was. So as we became older scouts, he would teach us how to invest in the younger scouts in our units, and teach us how to be servant leaders to them as well. Not just wear the rank and throw it around, but to care for the young boys and teach the young boys that we were then in charge of. Later on, when I was in college, a man named Gary Borcherding came into my life. His son and son-in-law were actually both classmates of mine in college. And when I was a senior, they had moved out to New Jersey near where I went to college. And we would all go down to his place pretty much every weekend, unless there was a football game, then he'd come up to us. But anyway, a different story. But we'd go down to his place every weekend. He and his wife opened up their home to us, and he would invest in us. He showed us. He was a pastor. All his children were Christians. I became a Christian later in college, but both because of his son-in-law and his son helped lead me to Christ before I even met him. But then showed us what it was to be a godly husband and what it was to be a godly father, and how to make daily conversations about what just goes on into lessons about how Jesus affects us every day. Later on, he actually mentored Kimberly and I as during our premarital counseling as we were getting ready to get married, and he actually performed the service for us when we got married. To this day, we still see him occasionally, and we fall right back into the old conversations, the old lessons, and he's still trying to invest in us and teach us more. So I'm Roger Henderson. I am who I am today because of Ken Perko and Gary Borcherding.
So here's how we're going to end today. As our worship team gets in place, we're going to have a time as we just close our service each week, asking God just to speak to us about the truths that have been revealed today. As we've sat here and gone through some of my stories and watched some of my funny clips, my hope is that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about where you are as a hero or a mentor or someone striving to be all that God wants you to be. And my hope is that you're feeling a call in your life towards something. First of all, my hope is that you're feeling called towards Jesus. If you've never opened up your heart to accept him into your life, that you'd do that today. The second thing is my hope is that you're feeling called to see yourselves as someone who's available to be a mentor. Each of these men here standing behind me had somebody who poured into their life, and we're looking for you to do that as well. And so today, as we close in response, if you, one, first of all, want to say, "I want Jesus in my life. I want to be the kind of father that has Jesus at the center." If you're a dad or not, anybody here wanting to make that decision, this is a time for you to do so. The second thing is, if you're wanting and ready to become a mentor in the life of somebody else, we don't have somebody here to pair you with right away, but if you're simply saying, yes, I want to be available, I want to help pour into the lives of others, then I challenge you to come up and make that commitment. Our men will be standing here, and as the worship team plays, they simply just want to pray a prayer over you, just lifting you up and saying, God, take so-and-so, make them the mentor that you've called them to be. And so if you feel led to take that challenge and respond in that way today, whether you're a dad or a mom or a child, if you want to take that step towards becoming the hero or the mentor that God is calling you to be, then we invite you to do so as we close today. Take this time and let God speak to you. Let's pray and let's worship and respond together.